Ladies and gentlemen, if you take your seats, please. We're gonna start public comment. Thank you. We've got two more in the building somewhere. No, there are five of us. Richard's right there, and that makes six. So we're going to start public comment. I have a gavel. Good morning, John. I'm sorry. Can I have it quiet, please? Actually, we have more than four, sir. If I can get the board members to gather around, we'll start public comment. Now, oh, where's Mel? He was here. Oh, there he is. And there's Kat. So, one, two, three, four. 5, 6. First person who has registered for public comment is Marie Bryant, to be followed by Daniel Keller.
Is there a quorum?
They're in the building, yes. They'll be here shortly. We're going to start public comment. Let's have some order, please. We're going to start public comment. Marie Bryant is first.
A quorum, Director.
A quorum.
The public wants to speak to the Director.
No meeting.
Ms. Bryant, she'll be followed by Daniel Keller. Please, please be courteous and listen to the people that want to speak. Thank you. Have a quorum, yes. Ms. Bryant, thank you for your patience.
Good morning. My name is Marie Bryant. I am a stakeholder in the Angeles Mesa area of Los Angeles, which will be greatly affected by this Crenshaw so-called LAX line, although it does not go to LAX. I would ask that the board please support the people's motion that the community is here to support, that has to do with safety, environmental impact, as well as the business and improving and growing the business community in Los Angeles, the section of Los Angeles that I live in. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Daniel Keller, be followed by Worth Baker.
My name is Daniel Keller, and I'm here for what I'm here always for everybody to pay their fair share on the rail. Right now, I was here on Tuesday on the red line coming in from Alameda. You can go through the handicap area even if you end up blocking all the turnstiles. If the sheriff's department doesn't do a better job of fair enforcement, you can still walk through and not pay. On the Gold Line right now from Union Station on Track 2, you can walk in and not pay. The only people who always pay is if the people who use the bus. You're going to have to do a lot better job than you've been doing. I always wonder if when the red light goes on, when you go through and don't pay, does that track the number of people that don't pay? You guys should find out whether that happens. We should all pay our fair share, and you guys should start doing your job. You haven't been doing it for the last 15 years. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Earth Baker to be followed by Malcolm Klugman. Worth Baker. Mr. Klugman, to be followed by Joshua Clayton.
This article in the paper guy named Robert Puentes from the Brookings Institution, and he says, one of the problems with transit, especially buses, has been the lack of reliability. No one wants to be standing waiting on a bus with no idea when it's coming. That's why they invented this, a bus schedule. The problem is the terrible job is being done of distributing bus schedules. If you ride on a bus, everybody here knows that you'll find schedules on the bus, except for the bus that you happen to be on that you need the schedule for. Everybody knows that. You need to hire someone whose job is to go to every library and stock libraries with new schedules. And you might even get people to go to the library who have never gone to the library before. But you need to have somebody to do that. You need more places for people to get bus schedules.
Thank you, Mr. Klugman. Joshua Clayton, to be followed by Hannah Bentley.
Well, I hope you have fun playing with your toy trains on the expo line. Thank you.
Hannah Bentley, to be followed by Ted Levy.
Good morning. I actually have put in speaker cards on like five items. I was hoping to speak to all of them at once if the board would so indulge me.
Go ahead. Start with...
Okay.
Can we back it up to 1 minute, please, so at least she has a... Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. So I'm here on behalf of the Fusion Homeowners Association and Fusion Air Quality, which is made up of residents of Fusion. I wanted to speak to items 27, 37, 58, and 60, all of which relate to what I have to say today. Last April in 2011, I wrote an extremely lengthy letter to this board on the Crenshaw SDIS RDIR with regard to maintenance facilities. I'd hoped to come speak to this board on that topic at that time, but I had a fractured ankle, so I couldn't. I wanted to do that because even though it did look like we were going to win as we did, there was something very dysfunctional about the fact that our alternative was even proposed in that document. I wanted to speak to that dysfunction, and I think that all of these items, 27, 37, and 58, have to do with that.
All right, hold on just a minute. I'm going to give you 2 more minutes, and then that should take care of all of the...
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Vice Chair.
Excuse me, she won't be coming up again. That's the idea, is to get it all taken care of now. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, so I wanted to speak to item 60 first, Supervisor Ridley Thomas's motion with regard to transit-oriented development. I have advocated a lot for SB 375. I have been a transit advocate long before I was embroiled in this controversy with this board and Expo's board. I have been to events at which at which Director O'Connor has spoken as to SB 375 and transit-oriented development when she was mayor in Santa Monica. And I am very sorry that I'm in now a situation where I am fighting both of these boards all the time because of the proposed paint and body shop at Fusion, which we thought had been defeated last April. As to budget and accountability, I do not think that the most efficient use of both boards' money is to put a paint and body shop 75 feet from children's bedroom windows so that we can fight with you about it for years and years and years in court. And the reason I'm talking to you about dysfunction is even if you win the case and you want to spend that money, there just are way better ways to handle your time. I did make a mistake in my letter, and the amount that you've expended on the paint and body shop at Division 22 is $154,000, not $154 million. That makes me very happy as a taxpayer. I'm still not so happy as a resident and a voter. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Ted Levy, to be followed by George Buzzett, is it? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Levy.
Hi. First of all, I want to just observe that public comment. I was hoping at the beginning that might be a whole board listening, and somehow it seems to still not be deemed worthy. But in light of the Crenshaw to LAX rail line, I'm speaking for those of us who live in this area along in Park Mesa Heights. We're talking about a train that's currently planned to run from Exposition to 48th Street Underground. The boring machine is going to be there. And then because a little more money, and I do mean little compared to what's going to be spent for the subway to the sea, and these other plans, is going to come above ground inexplicably through these areas, for it's going to go between 40th and 60th on the street. They're going to rip out the middle of the street, the big trees in the center divider. You're going to go past all of these schools, which is extremely dangerous, as the blue line and the gold line have shown. 104 deaths on the blue line. And we're talking about an intersection at Crenshaw and Slauson more busy than Wilshire and Western, where you're going to have, where at Vernon and Long Beach Boulevard, there have been 9 deaths with the same design being planned for this intersection, and it just makes no sense.
Thank you. George Buzzett, to be followed by Patrice Fisher.
George Buzzetti, Director of Policy of Congress of Racial Equality of California. I analyzed budgets and stuff. And guess what we discovered, thanks to Mr. Villaraigosa? He stated here in public that the bids are coming in 15 to 40% under. Okay, well, I just worked it out for the Crenshaw line until Celeste King IV and I were on our way to a meeting with a city councilman. And we went, well, what about that money on the rest of those projects? Oh, that's being banked to cover the extra $10 billion over the $9.7 billion on the subway to the sea. Guess what? It's all in your EIR. Most people don't read, don't know budgets, don't know about toxics. I do. You are just totally discriminating against this community. It's 9 times more dollars per rider for the subway to the sea than the only essential thing, the corridor. You totally are disrespecting this community, and it's improper.
Thank you. Patrice Fisher, to be followed by Pinozzi. And you're going to have to forgive me. Pinozzi Kutaza, is that correct? This is Patrice Fisher.
Patrice Fisher, you're taking the Wilshire line and you're running it for 8 miles underground. We're asking for 11 blocks down Crenshaw. I'm highly disappointed that you start a meeting and you don't even have all of your members out here. We are being disrespected on so many levels. Safety of our students, safety of our people that live in the community. You're destroying the ecological balance that runs down Crenshaw by taking out the mature trees. There's money. When people say we don't have money, we understand there is money. There's just not money for us. And it has to stop. And we're not going to stop until it's underground. If this was going through your community, would you be taking the same positions that you are now? Thank you.
Thank you. And please, sir, tell me how to say your name.
Mpenduzi. Kutasa.
Duzi Kutasa.
Yes.
I'll try to remember that, but I'll probably ask you again.
All you have to do is practice.
There you go.
Practice makes perfect.
There you go.
I'm here on behalf of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. And first, I just want to voice my opposition in terms of the board members. These are public funds, public hearing, and you can't even respect us to be at the meeting. So I'm not going to say anything, but put that in the record. It's the waste of taxpayers' money. There's no respect for the people that you say you represent. And we just can't take this lightly. Just go on with the meeting. We need to protest this. We need to have you show more respect for the people. Thank you.
Next speaker is Shinda Nyofu, to be followed by Mark Tangulik.
Good morning. My name is Shinda Nyofu. I'm here representing the African American Cultural Center, but also in solidarity with the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. You've heard the voice of the people, and you consistently and constantly choose to deny the voice of the people. However, the summation of what you're going to hear from now until the victory that we already have is, one, community self-determination. So it's going to be ongoing. It's not going to be a battle of tuition, because we're going to be there to the end. Community safety. You know the numbers about those that have been killed on the blue line. So we don't have to continue to regurgitate that to you. You're aware of the numbers. Economic justice. You know that Limerick Park is the cultural hub of that area and also of Los Angeles cultural areas. So why would you want to destroy that in this hard economic times of this country? So we are here to give you the political will that you don't currently possess. Okay? But at the end of the day, we need to have the Crenshaw LAX line put underneath from 48th to 59th to 60th, and we need the EIR study done on that area.
Thank you very much.
You know you can't move forward without the EIR, so we need to have that done. All right?
Yes, sir. Mark Tangulich, to be followed by Robert Belson.
I'm going to be brief. I'm in support of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. Our motto is, it ain't over till it's under. And you can't take me and put me in the middle of 405 freeway in the evening time and say everything's going to be all right. It's not. It ain't over till it's under.
Robert Belton, to be followed by Benjamin Russick.
My name is Robert Belton, and I am an associate with the African American Cultural Center in Los Angeles. I would just like to say that the black community seems like it always comes out on the short end of all of the projects that take place in the city. For example, the people feel that it's a necessity to keep our community as attractive as it is and to improve it, if at all possible. So I'm of the opinion that this rail should be underground. See, because, again, our community has been disrespected, as far as I can see. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Benjamin Russick, to be followed by Cheryl Tate.
Hello, my name is Benjamin Russack, and I'm a Van Nuys homeowner who will be attending a master's program in urban planning at either USC or UCLA in the fall. And though I own a car, I'm a regular rider of the public transportation system of Los Angeles. I take the Orange Line, which was designed with great care not to impact my community. I take the Red Line, which at considerable expense gave the same respect to the residents and the neighborhoods to which it passes. Why shouldn't the communities along the Crenshaw Corridor be granted the same privilege? I am here to inform the board that there are homeowners in the greater Los Angeles area who care not only about their property values, but the equitable development of the Los Angeles region. No community should be let out of the planning process that affects their neighborhoods. It is, as a future urban planner concerned with a sustainable Los Angeles, I care about both environmental and social degradation, the roots of the trees, and the health of the community. Street-level passage through the Crenshaw Corridor doesn't care for the health of the community, but rips it up, roots and all. I'm here to support the people's motion and implore you to fund the environmental study for the option of tunneling through the Crenshaw Business Corridor.
Cheryl Tate, to be followed by Arnold Sachs.
Good morning. I'm going to be brief because I didn't know I was going to be speaking, but I am here in support of the Crenshaw Subway, and I am a member of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. I am not good at suits. I am a native of this city. I was born in South Central Los Angeles. I have been coming down Crenshaw Boulevard all my life. I intend and I pray every day. I know we have some things against church and state, but I pray every day that I walk down Crenshaw Boulevard, drive down Crenshaw Boulevard, and catch a rail on Crenshaw Boulevard, that it stays underground and that Leimert Park Station is an inevitability. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs, to be followed by Mr. Herman.
Yes, good morning, board. Arnold Sachs. I really appreciate the first speaker coming here. Already learned something this morning. Metro and dysfunction. Who would have thunk? How can you combine those two words together and not be amazed? Maybe she missed the part about the expo line running at grade by a junior in junior high and a senior in a high school. No dysfunction allowed there. Must have missed that point. Transit-oriented development. I seem to remember Art Snyder, ex-city councilman, 15 years ago, buying property up for the Gold Line in downtown L.A. He missed out on that. And somebody mentioned something about getting on and off the trains. Can you explain? I can go into a supermarket and they can scan this coupon and it will deduct pricing because it's electronically scanned. Why can't Metro come up with a transfer, paper transfer, that has a chip in it that can be scanned so the gates might be locked?
Thank you. Mr. Herman?
For the record, my name is Armando Herman. I'm a Boyle Heights resident. I have a concern, and the concern involves all of you and all of you. On the SOTA corridor, there's been a problem in non-compliance with ADA regulations. There has been an obstruction, a barrier placed there for only 7 years. Again, 7 years. And I and other people with disability are in total outrage of this barrier being there for only 7 years. Now, we would wish and ask that transportation do something for the safety of its pedestrians, people with disabilities, because on both adjacent sides of the streets going east and west, you have made a problem for the safety of your constituents. There are businesses that we have to attend to, hospitals we have to attend to. All I ask is a listening ear, the passion to do something for people with disability, to have the safety implemented in the idea of the way you engage and putting up barriers and obstructing the flow of traffic use to use MTA bus routes.
Thank you.
252, thank you.
Thank you. And if you'll humor me, we started this without a Pledge of Allegiance, and that was because we were waiting to get folks. So please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance to be led by Director Najarian. Thank you very much. All right. Next speaker is Damian Goodman, to be followed by Linda Ricks.
Where's our mayor? Where's the heir to Tom Bradley? Where is the man who stands here in his position because of sacrifices, because of giants in the civil rights movement? This is a simple request, board members. Very simple. Put the Crenshaw line in a position to succeed by adopting the people's motion. We didn't say fund the tunnel. We said simply study 11 blocks so that economies of scale can be realized, so that contractors can be placed in a position to make good on the promises to the Crenshaw community. We don't understand what the challenge is. Supervisor Yaroslavsky, how many superfluous studies have there been on the subway to the sea, costing millions upon millions more than this simply would be? We need representation. We have two representatives on this board. We need them both to stand up in support of the Crenshaw community.
Thank you. Linda Ricks, to be followed by Umawali Tambuzi.
Good morning. My name is Linda Ricks. I'm a resident of Hyde Park, and I am in support of the train being underground through the park, Mesa Heights, for safety for our children.
Thank you. Mr. Tambuzi, to be followed by Antonio Lopez.
Good morning. My name is Umawali Tambuzi. I'm with the African American Cultural Center. And I simply just want to say we support the people's motion, and we certainly hope that you will be able to support it too. So.
Thank you. Antonio Lopez, to be followed by Mary Christian.
Buenos días.
Good morning.
Buenos días, mesa directiva. Buenos días a hoy en primavera.
Now
gente
is coming,
de diferentes colores.
People of different color.
Muchas palabras, muchos temas en diferentes en 60 segundos.
So many topics to speak in 60 seconds.
Los británicos, que italianos, franceses,
the British, the Italian,
ingleses,
the British,
y ahora el padre de esta tierra,
and
se dirige
land,
hasta Guanajuato, o sea, se va a dirigir hasta Guanajuato.
He's going to go all the
¿Por qué
way
les extraña
Guanajuato?
Cuando un Ronald Reagan ha ayudado? ¿Por qué les extraña cuando gente ha hecho energía? ¿Por qué el Papa ha vivido de las armas?
Why are you surprised when
a través
created energy and when the Pope have done?
Ahora este continente latino hace las armas, las cuales se aprovechan muchos también de que inversionistas
this Latin country,
también
Latin
están abusando ahora de muchos sistemas indígenas y de mucha energía, la cual yo quiero que consideren que en la flor que vivimos para la primavera y en cada familia no se aprovechen más.
Now they're abusing the native.
Yo creo que ya basta.
Now, with the flower of the spring, please don't take advantage.
Tratemos de progresar todos juntos, gente de varios y muchos colores. Que Dios les ayude y que les bendiga. Por eso dije, muchos temas.
Thank you.
We need en to progress 60
together,
segundos.
People of all different color, and that's what I said. Too many topics in 60 seconds.
Tenemos a Antonio Villarraigosa, tenemos a Gloria Molina, tenemos a Barack Obama,
Mary
tenemos
Christian.
Al señor Vicente Fox,
thank
tenemos
you.
A muchas thank cosas.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Mary Christian, to be followed by Merle Davis.
Good morning. I'm Mary Christian. I'm here with the Crenshaw Subway Coalition.
And we want you to take into consideration how important the Leimert Park area is to the vitality of the black community. And we ask that for the economic survival and for the safety of the people that you put the subway underground.
Earl Davis, to be followed by Malaika Tawasufi. I hope. All right, thank you. Malaika, is that correct?
Malaika,
thank you.
Good morning. My name is Malaika Tawasufi. I'm part of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition and also a member of the African American Cultural Center and a member of the Leimert Park community. And in solidarity with all of my brothers and sisters here, I'd like to say that it's criminal to not put the subway underground for the safety of our residents, our elders, our children, for the preservation of our community. We're very upset about that. Let it be said and let it be noted in the record that we're here to fight. It's a good fight and we're up for the battle. Thank you.
I think it's Tabite Anjo. I'm not sure.
Hello, my name is Thibidi Ambada. I'm a member of the African American Cultural Center and a member of the Crenshaw Coalition. I think I've been coming down here. This must be like the sixth or seventh time that I've been down here. You know, we keep coming here over and over. You don't listen to us. You don't show up on time for the meeting. And then when you show up, you come in with your coffee cups. You talk to each other. You don't pay any attention to what we're saying. We're tired of you coming to our churches, asking for our votes. And then when we want you to do something for our community, we can't get anything from you. This is why we have that little boy, Trayvon Martin. This is what happens. And I'm telling you, if we don't stop this now, this is what it's going to come to in LA. You have got to do something about these ignorant people.
Suzette Bennett to be followed by John Walsh. Suzette Bennett. John Walsh. Thank you. To be followed by York Knowlton. My voice would have spilled the beans.
John Walsh, HollywoodHighlands.org. Born in Harlem, in an all-white hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I remember Bradley, I want Bradley back. Dig him up, interred, take his skeleton, put it here, dead. He'd be a better mayor than we have now.
Mr. Walsh?
The years I never said a word against Bradley, because he wasn't a racist and he was a square shooter. And they're cheating you. They're cheating you out of
Walsh,
your service.
Please,
come
please
to HollywoodHighlands.org. 12,000 hits yesterday. 3 days, 25,000 hits. Why? Because I expose the adulterer up here. Because Garcetti hired private detectives to follow one of you. He left the room. And they found him with his 41-year-old girlfriend. And I'm telling you, find it on my website. If they're going to cheat their wives, they're going to cheat on you. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. York Knowlton to be followed by Stuart Huggins. Mr. Knowlton, may we have order, please? Respect for the people that are speaking. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, my name is York Knowlton. I'm a member of HOPE, the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. I also serve on the board of the Park Mesa Heights Community Council. Our mayor's gone again. I've taken many days off of work to come down here, as with many of our other taxpaying stakeholders, and it's really disconcerting to, I mean, I guess I understand what other people feel about feeling disrespect. Our neighborhood needs this train underground. Even Mr. Villaraigosa said that we can have it if we could find the money. But it's not been studied. So no matter if we got $20 billion, we could not have it. I'm not sure what we need to do. How many days ago was it that there was already another accident with a Metro train? So we're concerned. We're very concerned, and we really need you to respect us and listen to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Stuart Huggins, to be followed by Mr. Tembo. Ms. Tembo, sorry.
Good morning. My name is Stuart Huggins, and I'm with HOPE, as well as the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. I love my community. That's why I live here. And I hope that you would respect our concern for our community, just as you would your own communities. Please study the underground between 48th and 59th. Thank you.
Tembo, to be followed by Dale Stieber.
Good morning. My name is Chimbuko Tembo. I'm associate director of the African American Cultural Center. We're located on 48th, just east of Crenshaw Boulevard. I'd like to ask for a moment of silence for Trayvon Martin, whose name was raised earlier. As you all know, Trayvon Martin was an innocent 17-year-old black child that was murdered. His murder, as well as the lack of response from those in authority, those who should have protected him, demonstrates a reckless disregard for black life. So does a train driving down Crenshaw Boulevard, 35 to 40 miles an hour, near two schools. That also demonstrates a reckless disregard for black life by those in authority whose job it is to protect him and to protect those children whose lives will be put at risk. Thank you.
Dale Stieber, to be followed by Emma Hall Wood.
I'll waive my public comment for another item.
Thank you. Irma Hall Wood, to be followed by Manana.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Whom I know most of you, may it be city or the county. I'm here as a resident of Los Angeles for many of years. I won't tell my age, but I have ridden all the light rail trains except Exposition, which is not in operation yet. And each one of those trains have always and does stop at all the high points. And we are asking you, and excuse me.
Time, your time is going. Do you want to speak or not? I want to finish what is it you have to say, please.
I'm here to support the voices of this community. I'm asking for a stop at Leimert Park and the Subway. Thank you for your kindness.
Thank you very much. Laganya, to be followed by Robbie Davis.
I'm waiving my time for an item, for another item on the agenda.
Thank you. Robbie Davis, to be followed by Tut Hayes. That was, okay, I'm sorry. I was looking for M-A-G-A-N-A. Maganya? No? Okay, then Tut Hayes to be followed by Helen Topp.
Historically, black people have been unwillingly sacrificed and killed for the alleged greater good. Supervisor Yev Zarasovsky said that there was a danger. He didn't take care of it for his people. He's not going to do it for ours, for black people. Raise your hand if you don't believe people are going to be killed by this train. Now, you must believe that this is going to happen. That's called premeditated murder. And Zev Zarasovsky, we're going to come after you. Now, don't look for me, Zev. I don't operate that way. But one at a time, you premeditated murderers are going to have to face the consequence of your premeditated deeds. That means the murder of black people, black children, will not be tolerated. First, there was Tuskegee experiment. Now, this premeditated murder.
Thank you. Helen Topp, to be followed by Cora Parks.
I'm sorry, but I stepped out. You call my name? May I speak?
Yes. State your name.
My name is Suzette Bennett, and I am a proud Angeleno, born and bred here, and I am a supporter of the African Culture Center, and I live not too far from Leimert Park, and right now, Leimert Park, the businesses there are hurting, and what I'm concerned about is that if you put that rail over ground and not under, it would drive businesses away. So I ask, could there be a more penetrating study on having the rail underground and not overground? And I thank you for your time.
Cora Parks, to be followed by Dwayne Weisenhall. I hope. Cora?
Yes. My name is Cora. I'm here because of the train. I live in the neighborhood. I am a senior. I know I don't live at 72. And they don't keep enough time to cross the street, and I don't want to get hit by a train. You understand? Yeah. So this is why I am here, to speak my piece. Because at voting time, they all come around to our churches, stop our service, want us to vote for them. And when we need them, they are not here. You call them on the phone, they are not there. They don't return your call. And they don't want to hear it. And he walks out. And that's not right. So I'm here to speak my piece. And that's what I got to say. I don't want to get hit by no train. I'm a senior at 72. And I mean what I say.
Thank you.
And I want to see some action. I don't want to see that train going down Crenshaw because I live in that neighborhood. I mean every word I say. And I'm not playing either.
Thank you. Thank you. Excuse me, Dwayne Weisenhaus. Dwayne?
Yes, Dwayne Weisenhaus. I'm a 20-year resident living about a half a mile away from where the Crenshaw line is going to be above ground. I want to address my comments specifically to Supervisor Yaroslavsky. I was here a few months ago when the people of Beverly Hills came by. They were complaining about a totally nonsense issue about having the subway under their high school. They fought hard. You explained to them, you know, it's safe. But you still authorized a study to look at that. And now here we have a very real issue where lives are at stake, where a community is about to be destroyed, and you're refusing to support this particular motion. I don't understand the difference between these two, and that seems like a perfect... to have a nonsense issue, and you're willing to put a motion forward to do a study, but here's a very real issue where lives are at stake, and you're ignoring it, and anybody who supported that motion in Beverly Hills but not against this motion, that to me is environmental racism.
That's it. Thank you very much. That includes public hearing. That's all the slips that I have for public hearing.
I'm Helen Topp, and my name was called, and then
a lady stepped in. Yes, it was. Somebody stepped in.
Thank you.
Please, go ahead.
From 9 years, I was a volunteer with Travelers Aid on Tuesday morning from 8 o'clock till noon, and I feel that it's vital for Metro to have a staffed information booth at the Alameda Street entrance. Each week, my partner and I helped, on an average, 100 passengers to reach their destinations, some using public transportation for the first time, senior citizens taking advantage of the reduced fare from 9 to 3, or visitors from the U.S. to other countries. One week it's Germany, the next week it could be Australia, Japan, or Russia. With this in mind, I feel that it's important to have an enclosed information booth at the Alameda Street entrance. It would allow the Metro information staff to use their computers to find the best route for passengers to reach their final destinations. And also, I feel that it is possible to share the cost with the Travelers Bureau of Los Angeles so that we can see that our visitors to our city and our country
are best served. Thank you.
Are you Laganya? Is that?
No, I'm Alvive Unheard, and I did turn in a public comment card. Is it not there?
It is not there. I went through all the cards.
Well, I gave it to the lady at the table when I came in. Okay, so can I go ahead on and speak? Okay, I'm going to speak. Listen, let me tell you something.
Yes, go ahead.
I've been in these meetings before, and I've been to the city council. Here we go again. What do we have, a black and white issue? Yeah. Come on now. We don't want to be racist. We want everybody here to be represented. Why is it? And I've seen this. The white folks get what they want. All of us black folks, Crenshaw is a black community. Each and every one of you sitting there, you know this. And why is it that it cannot go all the way, just like the one on Wilshire is going to do? Is there any particular reason why our cultural center, Lemurth Park, and all the businesses cannot be saved? Why does it have to come on the top? Is there any particular reason? Let me tell you something. In my community, the rail went all the way under, past all the schools, all the elementary schools. I live off the goal line, okay? And it stays underground until it comes to Indiana. Why? What is the difference? Is it because I live right outside of downtown LA? I'm here to say I am ACORN, I am ACE, name it, claim it, any organization that fights for the low and moderate income people. Oh, I don't have any more time. But one more thing. This is going to go through. I don't want to make it a black or white issue, but if you want to look at the statistic, what do you think it is? Have a good day, each and every one of you. How you doing, Mark Whitney Thomas? I'm sorry my mayor is not here, because I know him personally, too.
Thank you
Have a good day, each and every one of you. Thank you for the extra time. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number one, approval of the consent calendar. Are there any items been moved by Mr. Katz, seconded by Mr. Ridley Thomas? Without objection, such will be the order. I was asked to take a moment to recognize the 10-year anniversary of Through the Eyes of Artists. It's Metro's travel destination poster series. A diverse range of local artists have created artworks that promote transit and also express the uniqueness of LA's communities. And the purpose of the poster series is to encourage people to take public transit. So as I understand it, they've to date, 25 different neighborhoods have been featured in the series. Has received several local and national awards, been exhibited in museums. I'd like to ask some of these artists who made this program such a success to stand up and so we can acknowledge them. Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Whole group of you. They'd like you to come up to the front, to the podium, I guess, so we could take a picture, I guess, is what we've asked, right?
Hey, you can make this much money.
Now, item number three, the chair's report. As you know, a broad coalition of business and labor leaders had a press conference yesterday to urge the House to pass the transportation bill. And our message was get the country moving. I want to acknowledge all of the organizations, Move LA, VICA, the Chamber of Commerce, the Central City Association, the building trades, all there in support of America Fast Forward. And so that everybody understands, the Senate bill, which passed 74-22, overwhelmingly supported on a bipartisan basis, supported by President Obama as well, is now in the House. The House is talking about extending for 3 months the current bill, which would mean that we would lose the opportunity to create about 3 million jobs. The Senate version would create or maintain 1.8 million jobs, and America Fast Forward, our 3010 plan, would add another million jobs. So that's a big, big deal, and we need to continue to put the pressure and the light on the House. I just got off a conference call this morning with about 50 mayors and Senator Coons from Delaware on this issue. And obviously, those of us on the board or here, your support, your advocacy in support of the Senate version is really critical. You know, as I've said, and as this board knows better than anyone, fixing a pothole, rebuilding a bridge, putting an HOV on a highway or expanding public transit has never been partisan. We need your support to put a pressure on the House. Also want to talk about a little bit about the meeting I had with Secretary LaHood about Title VI and its importance to quality transit service. The MTA has rectified two of the five identified deficiencies, but we still have to work diligently with the FTA to fully comply with the federal Title VI civil rights regulations. I assured the Secretary that we're going to continue to work to resolve the remaining deficiencies by early next year, and I'm pleased that the staff has already resolved two of them, but we really got to insist that they move ahead to continue to report each month, as I stated in my motion in December, to provide an update on the progress in meeting those Title VI compliance deadlines and goals. I'd also like to highlight an item on today's board agenda, Director Wilson's performance accountability on the MTA budget themes and goals motion. He's been working hard to hold performance reviews and focus our employees, rather, on quantifiable progress toward our most important goals, and I'd like to ask the board to support that motion. And finally, I want to recognize the MTA's Bus Bridge program for hiring of 600 bus operators since the program inception. If you remember, the MTA had indicated that there were bus operator positions, vacancies held open, but there weren't people to fill them. So the city got together with the MTA, and we put together a pre-training to prepare participants, and more than 600 people have gone through that program, a major milestone. We working with the Community Career Development in Alley Valley College, and want to acknowledge Don Ott, the MTA's executive director for administration for his efforts in supporting this bridge program. There are a number of people who want to speak on public comment, beginning with John Walsh. Mr. Walsh. And then Arnold Sachs and George Bazzetti. Thank you. Bazzetti.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Tuesday we had the last 3 days we've had 23,000 hits. I'm going to let you I'm going to give you a month off, Mr. Mayor, because you did vote when we had the 7-6 vote to cut bus service. You did vote the right way. The only person who voted the wrong way, the only white Democrat that cheated us, was Zev Yaroslavsky. The only one. The rest of them were right-wing Republicans. Fine. They want to be fascist. They're being consistent. Now, if you want to know something about Zev's other cheating, and he doesn't just cheat on the bus riders, He cheats on a lot of people.
Excuse me, John. Oh, what does this have website. To do with this item?
Notice what's
what
there.
What does it have to do with the item?
Am I lying?
And you don't have to,
Why are you so upset? Because I'm telling the truth. You see that?
Walsh, in your commentary, you don't have to indicate his race either. Thank you very much. Arnold Sachs.
Mayor, I warn my...
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Mayor, you forgot to mention the support from the L.A. to Pasadena Gold Line Construction Authority. You know, the people at the Crenshaw Line are concerned about getting funding, but the idea and how to do this is create a bogus authority so you can funnel money away from projects. Do the research on the L.A. to Pasadena Gold Line Construction Authority, and you'll understand what's going on. You also mentioned conversations with Secretary LaHood regarding the isn't he supporting the high-speed rail, the boondoggle that's now over $100 million, and jobs. You mentioned jobs. That also project, they talked about how the estimates were actually job years and not job totals. And finally, you mentioned an item on your agenda. So I'm going to mention an item on your agenda because you mentioned cooperation between Metro and the city over bus drivers. So how about Metro and the city on the red light cameras? Metro has red light cameras that operate, but the city had to end their red light camera program. How come they can't cooperate together and have a red light camera program that is consistent throughout the county?
Thank you.
Some cooperation.
George Bassetti, Mr. Bassetti, and then Opal Young.
George Bassetti, Director of Policy, Congress of Racial Equality of California. I hear the talk about the jobs bill, and I'd like to know about accountability. And there's also civil rights at the federal level. Mayor Villagrosa, you weren't here when I spoke before, so I'm going to go back to it again so you can hear it directly. You are the one who brought up when we were here before that the bids are coming in 15 to 40% under. That day, I only worked it out on the $1.7 billion. Celeste King IV and I were on our way to a meeting with a person in city council. And we went, what about that savings? Well, in your own EIR in the Subway to the Sea, it shows you're going to spend double money over the $9.7 billion. So we know that you guys know that you hope that none of us knew that you're banking that money to blow away on the Subway to the Sea, which services half the people at nine times the cost per passenger. Now, where is the fairness? This is why it's good that it's in federal court.
Thank
you. And it's social and environmental justice.
Thank you, sir.
So
Opal Young, Ms. Young, and then Shimbuka Tembo.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning,
and
ma'am.
Committee. My name is Opal Young. I'm the president of the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Homeowners Coalition, and I'm also a supporting member of the Subway Committee Coalition. I've lived in the area for 49 years. I know where Crenshaw is. I drive through Crenshaw every day. My kids go to school, my grandkids rather go to school at View Park Prep. I have two kids going, grandkids going there. And I am really concerned about the rail line going underground. Now, we have a conversation here regarding funds for the rail line going underground from 48th Street to 60th Street. We would like to let you know, in fact, if you don't know, that that Representative Karen Bass has asked for money for that part of the rail line to be funded. Are you aware of it? Okay. Let's take it from there.
Thank you. Shimbuku Tembo and... Steer, the last name is Steer with the CSC. Steer? Maybe Dale. Okay, Dale. Dale Steer. Yes, how are you?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
See you.
Good to see you also. In terms of the transportation bill, as you know, Congresswoman Karen Bass has asked for monies to build a stop at Leimert Park. And why can't we do the same thing to study, to see if we can have an underground tunnel? For us that are supporting the people's motion, we see this as three issues of importance to us. First, an issue of community self-determination, that we have the right and responsibility to participate in every decision that affects our lives. And we want an environmental study so that that train can be kept underground all the way from 48th to 59th. Second, it's an issue of community safety. A train driving down Crenshaw Boulevard 40 miles an hour at grade level near two schools, clearly you can see this demonstrates a reckless disregard for black life, that black life is not held in the same regard as white life. And also it's an issue of economic justice. How can we approve 8 miles for Wilshire Line and deny black people 11 blocks? How can we spend millions to study the subway to the sea and absolutely nothing for black people? How can you justify that?
Thank you very much. Dale Steer and Melinda Abdullah.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. My name is Dale Steber. I'm a resident of the Crenshaw District, and I am a librarian at Occidental College. So I want to speak on behalf as a member of the entire city. I want to pull something together. You just talked about your hard work in getting federal dollars. The Crenshaw Corridor is one of your highlights for those dollars. You also talked about how Title VI compliance was important to you. I hope, with all the public comment that was made before your arrival, I'm sorry to say, but I'm sure you'll hear about it, that you will help us get into it the environmental impact study so that this underground from 48th to 60th Street can be considered so that our area can be treated as equally as every other area in the city. I appreciate the work that you're doing to get the money. I want to get it going. I appreciate that our supervisor has talked about how he wants to keep this moving. The idea to keep it moving is to get this environmental report taken care of.
Thank you very much. Melinda Abdullah and... Robbie Davis, yes, or Robbie's. Oh, Robbie, it's an E. Okay, Robbie Davis, and how are you?
How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. My name is Dr. Melina Abdullah, and I'm a professor at California State University, Los Angeles. And I'm also a mother of two children, and by the time the train is built, three children who attend View Park. And I'm concerned about the train running at grade level. I mean, we know based on every study that's been done, when a train runs at grade, it will kill people, right? We know that this will happen. And we know that I supported your campaign both times. I support my supervisor, Mark Ridley Thomas, because we know that you care about black life. And we want you to value our lives by putting your money where your mouth is and dropping that train underground. If you don't, it signals to us that you really don't care as much as we think that We hoped that you would. And so, as the mother of three children, I can't allow my children's lives to be put on the line by running a dangerous train down the middle of Crenshaw. So we urge you to do the study to allow the train to be dropped underground.
Thank you. Robbie Davis and Damian Goodman. I know that name. Robbie.
I am Robbie Davis. I've been a resident of the Crenshaw District for 25 years. Firstly, Congresswoman Bass has specifically requested that monies be spent to make the station at Mert Park happen. We are now asking you to include us in an environmental impact report so that monies can be found to put the train underground. That having been said, what I would like to say is essentially, you, Mayor Villaraigosa, said it was a matter of money. It can't be a matter of money if you don't allow us this opportunity. Otherwise, I just charge you with being virulent practitioners of environmental racism. Let's just be really clear about it. So if, in fact, you care about our community, show us the way you do with others. Otherwise, just call it a Hawaiian luau and just gut up Crenshaw Corridor for no other reason than to take people from Union Station to somewhere else and to do nothing for the community in which you want to pass through. So don't say you're bringing it to us when you're literally charging through us.
Thank you very much. Damian Goodman. And Rosa Miranda.
You do see in the House transportation bill and the transportation bill within the federal government an amount of unity. That unity is seen by Karen Bass, who requested the Mert Park Village Station be funded through the bill. Congressman Waters requested the Westchester Station be funded through the bill. But you know as well as I do, Mr. Mayor, all of you know that if there is no study, you can't even ask for the money. You can't even ask for the money. You said when we packed this hall on May 26th, and I quote, the bids are maybe 25 to 30% lower bids over the last few years. So although I'm not supportive of undergrounding as a public policy position, not every decision we make is based on public policy. So, Mr. Ridley Thomas, to direct my comments to you for a moment, if you would accept that as an amendment, hopefully friendly, I'd be willing to get behind it. That's what you said, but you've done nothing since to place us in the position. So I'm asking you, at the next board meeting, will you put forth the people's motion that allows us to simply put that option on the table, that allows the contractors to bid it, or will you not? Will you direct your four votes, along with the three votes that came from Supervisor Ridley Thomas, Supervisor Molina, and Supervisor Antonovich? If you're not, well, we got court, and it ain't over till it's under, sir. Yeah.
All right, Damon. Thank you. Rosa Miranda. And then Felipe Villarreal, I think.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es Rosa Miranda. Soy miembro del sindicato de pasajeros.
Good morning. My name is Rosa Miranda, and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union.
Yo estuve en el 2006 cuando expiró el decreto mutuo, cuando la presidenta dijo, en ese momento dijo que no íbamos a regresar a los tiempos del decreto mutuo.
I was here in 2006. When the consent decree expired, and Chair Molina said that we would not go back to the days before the consent decree.
Al día de hoy, la verdad es otra. Esta agencia quebrantó la promesa cuando cortó 1 million de horas de servicio.
But today, the reality is very different. This agency broke that promise with the reduction of 1 million hours of bus service.
La evidencia de la FTA y los datos de la agencia indica que violó los derechos civiles.
The evidence that the FTA has uncovered in this agency's own reports and analyses actually marks that there has been violations of civil rights.
La única cosa para corregir y cumplir con su promesa es restaurar el millón de horas de servicio.
The only thing that can actually remedy any of those harms is the restoration of the 1 million hours that have been cut.
Ya hemos sufrido los daños, pero esta agencia tiene la oportunidad de cambiar sus sus prácticas discriminatorias.
We've already suffered the impacts and the harm, but this agency still has the opportunity to change its discriminatory practices.
Seis directores el año pasado votaron en contra de estos recortes de servicio.
Six directors voted against those cuts last year.
Pero queremos el liderazgo de toda la mesa.
But we need the leadership of the entire board.
Alcalde Villarraigosa, supervisor Marruili Tomás y concejal José Huizar. Les pedimos que sean los campeones en esta mesa para luchar por los derechos civiles.
Mayor Villarraigosa, Supervisor Marcuelli Thomas, Councilmember José Huizar, we ask you to be the champions of civil rights on this board.
Y restauren el millón de horas de servicio.
Thank you very much. Muchas gracias. Ben Rusak and Mishinda Niyofu.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Felipe Villarreal, vengo de...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's right. I apologize, I called you.
Good morning, my name is Felipe Villarreal, and I come with the car wash, the Clean Car Wash campaign.
Y vengo apoyando al sindicato de pasajeros porque estamos muy lastimados con el recorte de horas que ha tenido la mesa directiva.
And we're here to support the bus riders union because we have been extremely impacted by the bus service cuts that this board has implemented.
Ya que como trabajadores nosotros tenemos la dificultad de tener que estar esperando los autobuses por mucho tiempo y perdemos ese mismo tiempo de estar con la familia o en el trabajo.
As workers, we have extremely long waits, which means that we have less time with our families.
Y sabemos que las investigaciones que desgraciadamente se han tenido que hacer aquí a la agencia de la MTA han resultado en violaciones civiles.
And it's really unfortunate that it had to take, the recent FTA compliance review to uncover more civil rights harms.
Por eso es que ahora solicitamos como ciudadanos, como trabajadores, que ustedes restauren todo ese tiempo que han quitado para los autobuses.
So that is why we're here as citizens and as workers to ask you to restore not only the service, but to restore the service that has taken time from our lives.
Así es de que agradecemos la atención que nos están dando y por favor pongan atención porque la comunidad es la que más está sufriendo ese maltrato.
So we appreciate your attention today, but we also ask you to listen to the community that is the one that is being affected.
Gracias por su liderazgo y esperemos que tomen conciencia de los sacrificios que hace el pueblo para beneficio de uno mismo, ¿no?
So thank you, and we ask that you just be aware of the sacrifices that the community is making. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gracias. Ben Rusak and Mishinda Niyofu. Ben?
Hi, yes, I'm Ben Rusak. I'm a current student at Cal State University Los Angeles studying urban planning, and I'm going on to either USC or UCLA for a master's program in the fall. I'm also a Van Nuys homeowner who's concerned about equitable development in the region, and I'm speaking for the People's Motion of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. You spoke about job creation, Mr. Mayor, and the importance of that in our region, but I see the plans for the Crenshaw Subway going above ground through the central business district of the African American neighborhood will not only take jobs away but put businesses out in what's already an under-resourced community, and that concerns me greatly. When you look at the red line and how the businesses have prospered as a benefit of an underground subway, they're not being given the same privilege in the Crenshaw district. You have a Walmart there. You'll have more chains that take over from businesses that go out of business and suck resources out of the community as opposed to business owners who are local entrepreneurs who reinvest in their neighborhoods. Please don't let this happen.
Mr. Mishinda Niyofu?
Yes, correct. I am Mishinda Niyofu, again, member of the African American Cultural Center and in solidarity with the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. And so, Mayor Villarraigosa, you talked about the transportation bill. While we are grateful that it has passed the Senate and it's on its way to the House, but we all understand that politics is local. So it won't be germane to us until it is passed, and that we understand that the funds will be dedicated to, as our Congress members have requested, dedicated to taking care of the deleterious impact that we all know will affect the Crenshaw community. Regardless of the economic impacts, we are aware of that. So once the bill passes, We trust that those funds will trickle down to our community so that the environmental impact report can be done. It must be done. It will be done. And so for those of you that love your positions here, it will be done. And that's what the people say. What we're asking for, it will be done. Or you will be done.
Thank
your
you.
Your positions.
Mr. Tut Hayes. Mr. Hayes, how are you? Mr. Hayes, good to see you again.
Doug McIntyre said that the city council is entirely racist. Well, your board is too. Zero Slosky said that there was a danger of a rail in his community, and he didn't take care of it, eliminate it for his people. He's not going to do it for black people. Now, 4 days ago, LA Times, six injured in Metro train car hits in downtown LA. That's number one. That's your first casualty. Now, I'm not going to beg and whine and snivel and say, please don't kill us. Don't kill our people. That's not good human behavior. The human reaction to your kind of behavior is to challenge it and demand that you either eliminate it or stop it. Now, look up the word demand. You find out it has consequences. It has some kind of punishment behind it. So no more whining and pleading for black lives. Zero Slotsky, you're number one. Because you've spoken about your people and our people.
Marie Bryant, Ms. Bryant, and then Jose Estrada. Ms. Bryant, how are you?
Fine, Mr. Mayor. How are you? My name is Marie Bryant. I'm a resident, a longtime resident of the Angeles Mesa area of Los Angeles, where this train will be, for the Crenshaw LAX line, will be going through. I want to first thank Supervisor Molina and Antonovich for their longtime support of us in this Crenshaw LAX fight. Now, I am very grateful that the mayor has mentioned the transportation budget that has passed the Senate and on the way to the House. But unless we get a study for the tunnel through the Park Mesa Heights area, I don't care how much money comes in, there is no way it can be built. There's no way it can be bidded on. So I ask that you support, all of you, support with you, Mayor, and your three other votes that you have on this board, support a study of the tunnel.
Thank you, ma'am. Jose Estrada, and then David Diaz. Jose Estrada.
Good morning, buenos días a todos y todas. Soy Jose Estrada, vengo del sur centro de Los Ángeles, representando a nuestra organización, que es la Asociación de Comunidades Unidas del Sur Centro de Los Ángeles.
Hi, my name is Jose Estrada, and I'm here representing South Central and the organization ACUSLA.
En esta oportunidad queremos saber, sabemos del problema que está pasando en todas las comunidades, y nosotros que vivimos en el Sur Centro, pues estamos muy preocupados porque cada día hay más problemas con el transporte.
So I'm here to somewhat highlight many of the problems that exist in our communities, but us in South Central are feeling the worsening of transportation.
En esta oportunidad como organización, nosotros queremos apoyar la propuesta del sindicato de pasajeros para pedirles a ustedes, con el respeto que se merecen, de que es necesario, retomar otra vez el servicio y que vuelvan a autorizar el millón de horas que se recortaron.
So we want to support the proposal of the Bus Riders Union, and with the respect that this board deserves, ask you to restore the 1 million hours of bus service.
Ustedes saben que es un derecho constitucional el transporte, igual que la educación y otros servicios.
So you all know that transportation, just like education, is a constitutional right.
Y como derecho, es digno de que ustedes, como representantes nuestros, pues defiendan esa posición de nuestros derechos.
And it is important that you defend our right.
Y el FTA ha sido muy elocuente en ese aspecto.
And the FTA has been very eloquent in that aspect.
Y pensamos que ya este ya no es un problema de una sola, son muchas razas, muchas personas, muchas culturas que estamos sufriendo este problema.
And it's just not one group of people, it's many races, many cultures that are suffering from this.
Y pensamos que el venir a expresarnos aquí es el mejor medio para que podamos lograr ayudar a nuestras comunidades.
And we believe that by coming here and speaking to you all, it's the best way to express what we think the remedy should be.
Muchas gracias por la oportunidad y esperamos su apoyo.
And we look for your support.
Thank you. David Diaz. Mr. Diaz, how are you?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I'm David Diaz. I'm the director of Urban Studies at Cal State Los Angeles. I just want to say one thing. I do want to respect all of your service and for public service. We sometimes we're on different sides of the fence, but all of you deserve that type of respect. I do want to talk about a couple things real briefly.
Absolutely.
This is not a 10-year, this is not a 15-year, this is not a 20-year project. Whatever the cost for the undergrounding, whether it's $300, $350 million, how much money will that be in terms of 2035, 2050, 2075, 2100? The amount of money that you'd be spending right now for a 100-year public works project is minuscule. Number two, this is one of the key African-American business corridors in the entire western United States. The city has pumped in a lot of money to try to restore this corridor. The above ground will annihilate this. In terms of this corridor, there's only two main destination points, Leimert Park and the Martin Luther King Mall. The Leimert Park station has always been part of the early red line, and you get tens of thousands of people going there. You absolutely have to have a station there.
Thank you very much, David. It's good to see you again. And lastly, Arnold Sachs. Mr. Sachs. Thank you very much, everybody. Mr. Sachs?
Mayor, what item are you talking on, by the way?
Your item number three, the chair's report.
Oh, the chair's report. Thank you. Yeah, you're concerned about my shirt. That's why you called the
Yeah, I am concerned about you. I'm offended by it.
Well, listen, I'm offended by this. I've asked numerous times about the construction authority, Gold Line Construction Authority. I'm offended what's on the agenda today.
Well, makes two of us.
Mentions the Gold Line Foothill Extension funding agreement. I'm concerned because it didn't come into being until October, but they had environmental study done by the Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority. They settled a legal suit by the Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority. They request for proposals by the Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority. How do all these things occur when the Gold Line Construction Authority didn't come into being until October? I'm concerned about that.
Thank you very much.
I'm offended. That's why I say go Metro.
Thank you very much. The next item is the CEO's report. Item number four.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pleased to report that we've had some successful tests on the Expo line, and we are planning to start full revenue, pre-revenue operations this coming Sunday. So we'll soon be able to set an opening date. I'd like to get a report on safety of Vijay Kalani. Is he here? Yes. Vijay, please. Included in this will be comments on the Harbor Freeway accident that we had a few months ago that we promised to review and come back to you. So make it quick, please, Vijay.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy.
Very much.
We got to go, Vijay.
Good morning. My name is Vijay Kawani, and I'm the executive officer of the Corporate Safety Department. This is Corporate Safety's first report to keep the board apprised of system safety issues and some of our key performance indicators that we track. And it is in accordance with the motion that was approved by the board in October of last year. This report has also been provided on a monthly basis since January to the System Safety and Operations Committee. The first slide that we have shows our lagging indicators on safety as far as bus accidents are concerned per 100,000 hub miles. These are the collisions that occur on a monthly basis on the bus system. And the top graph shows this on a monthly basis, and the bottom graph shows it shows a trend over the fiscal years that we see there. We had a reduction in our latest data that we have for January of this year. However, we have significant progress to make, as we can see in our year-to-date collision rate. And we are working with operations very closely to come up with programs to implement those. This slide shows the same data for the rail mode. It shows the monthly accident rate on top for rail and the year-to-date numbers on the bottom for the same mode. This slide shows our proactive measures and our leading indicators as far as safety is concerned, and it represents the information that is gathered by our bus mystery rider program.
We have a question on this chart, specifically, Director Katz.
Thank you. Just on the chart before this, also, we were talking about safety. What's the norm on that? What are other properties of our size, not the national average, but how do we compare to others in that regard?
I don't have the data. You mean for rail and bus?
Yes.
I don't have the numbers today, but we can certainly.
Why don't you backtrack, though? Backtrack to that. Okay, so bus accidents per 1,000. I mean, I think the gravamen of his question is, what does this mean if you're not comparing it to something else?
Unless that 3.0, that yellow line, is the national average and the blues are ours. Is that?
No, the 3.10 is our internal threshold and our internal KPI. We have the numbers for the other transit agencies, and we can provide that at our next meeting.
But the mayor's correct.
But how did we come to the 3.0? This is an important issue, by the way, because board members, when we're in closed session, this is an issue that Gloria Molina, Director Molina, Director Kanabi, Director Antonovich, Director, virtually every one of us have raised again and again and again. So this is an important presentation. The problem is, what does it really tell us? You know, it doesn't compare. It doesn't compare to the past. It doesn't really, because all it's just showing us, well, the last year, you know. Does it compare? How do we compare to other transit agencies? Is there a mean or a norm that we should be looking at? That question could be repeated by, and to short circuit it, I think this presentation, frankly, needs to be, I don't know what it tells us other than, you know, you got a yellow line going all through and, you know, September was about the same. I mean, January 2012 was about the same as January 2011. I mean, I don't know what it really tells you.
We'd be pleased to. This is the first time we brought this to the board. You know, we used to aim at 4 per 100,000 miles here in the dim and distant past. 3.5 and below is good. I think in my experience around the country, between 3 and 4 is typically what you would see in the big cities, but we'd be pleased to pull comparative data from peer agencies.
And like, how did we come to 4?
Well, I just think that was historically, that was the experience back in the 80s and 90s. We were at about 4 accidents per 100,000 miles. So the fact that we're closer to 3 now is signs of progress over a period of time. But we'll be happy to develop some time series data comparing ourselves to other systems. We'll do that next month.
Yeah, the current presentation only shows our performance from month to month and on a fiscal year basis, but we can look at other transit agencies around the country and compare ourselves to them.
And then how we've done over the years. I mean, you say that we're closer to 3 now. I'm looking at this, and that's only true for...
The trend over the years is on
the bottom. 5 months.
Right. The trend over the years is on the bottom graph that shows from FY06
7 months
to present. And the numbers on the bottom denote what our rate was in FY06, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on and so forth. So we have the trend showing our own performance from year to year.
Okay.
But we do not have the trend of other transit agencies, which we can research into and provide that at the next meeting.
So the bottom graph does compare historical.
That's correct.
You went so fast through it. You weren't really clear about that, and you certainly weren't clear in your presentation. So everybody, the green graph at the bottom, that shows where we were at from fiscal year 6 to fiscal year 12.
Year to date through January, that is correct.
And really, there's not been much change. Isn't that right?
Increased slightly.
It's gone up in January.
I mean, yeah. Unless I'm reading it wrong, I mean, if you look at it from fiscal years, there's actually we're up this year, but there's not much change throughout the years.
We had some decrease in 2009 and 2010. Those are our best years, and then we started to slowly creep up again. And this year is particularly challenging to bring those numbers down. And like I said, we are working with our operations management on developing programs to reduce that number and hopefully end up with a good year.
Continue with Director Fasana.
Just some comments. I think you're spot on in terms of the issue of comparing with other properties. I think in terms of whether the goal really should be 3 or 4 or whatever the right number is, I'd also be curious and, you know, might be a little callous, but what are the financial implications to the agencies and, you know, the fares that we have in terms of maintaining a goal or achieving a goal of 2 versus 3? That doesn't even get into the impacts to the riders themselves. But what are the financial implications and benefits of striving for even a more strict goal, maybe getting it down the 2.5 range or whatever?
It's a good question. Something we should. Okay, keep on going. These are rail now, and again, this goes month to month the last year, and then also goes from fiscal year, in this case, not 6, but fiscal year 7 to fiscal year 12.
That is correct.
Yeah, just be a little clearer. I don't think it was, you were just going real quickly, and this is important information when you look at, one, the fact that we have as many accidents as we do, the injuries, the deaths that have come from it, and importantly, the financial impact to the agency because of it. So, please.
Okay. Sure. This graph shows our leading indicators as far as compliance with rules and procedures, and this is developed based on data collected by our bus mystery rider program. The top graphs show operators' compliance with wearing seat belts and making sure that persons are standing behind the yellow line on the bus before the bus is moved. This is based on approximately 200 observations that are conducted by persons riding various bus lines. And as we can see, the numbers for those two measures are relatively good. We're 97% and 100% on for the month of January. And the improvement has been shown, it shows the improvement over the last 12 months, where we were and where we are today. So we've really improved dramatically in that area. We have a little bit of a challenge on the bottom two graphs, as we can see, and that represents operators using cell phones while driving buses and operators running red traffic signals, intersection signals. And we were on a downward trend through August through November, but then we've peaked again in the months of December and January as far as those KPIs are concerned, which is not encouraging. And again, we are working with operations on those two issues to address.
Let me ask you a question. What is our policy with respect to operators running red lights?
Well, I would regard that as a major rule violation. We're going to provide some data on monitoring and discipline of such things as part of the closed session on labor relations. We'll cover some of that.
Yes, Director Katz.
On the same way, did you correlate then people who ran, how many of the drivers who were using cell phones also ran red lights?
No, this data is independent of that. So the numbers that show the 0.9% is only reflective of operators who were using cell phones, and then the 5% is reflective of just the operators who ran the red lights.
I mean, I think if there's a way to correlate that, it certainly, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a direct correlation there, and it might be a way.
And accidents.
And accidents, right, and target the drivers.
You're 27 times more likely to get in an accident if you're texting, and texting is worse than drunk driving when it comes to the impact of that. So, I mean, you know, people on a cell phone texting on it on a bus. I mean, come on.
I agree.
So
and just for context, when you say relative frequency 3%, what does 3% represent in, you know, in raw numbers?
It would be 6 operators, because this is based on 200 operators that were observed.
So this is, it's based, it was 6 out of 200.
Correct.
It's 3%.
So, and how many operators do we have?
Approximately 4,000, a little over 4,000.
Okay, so it's a whole bunch more than 6 if you extrapolate it out.
Yes, this is just a random sample that is done.
Okay, but I mean, that's some. We're starting to talk about some big numbers, particularly if you're talking about drivers, maybe articulated buses versus or express buses. And
again, when we talk about the labor relations strategies, there'll be some data which is directly pertinent to where you're going with this.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Thank you.
This is the same slide for the rail mode, and this shows our leading indicators on rail and some of the typical incidents that we capture on a month-to-month basis. The upper graph shows it by line. The purple line is part of the red line. We've lumped it in there rather than separating it out. And we've got the type of violations that occur across the top. For example, the red signal main line is similar to when a bus operator runs a red traffic signal. In this case, it represents a train operator running a red signal on the rail system. The next one, broken gates. When we have a broken gate at a grade crossing, there's information provided to all operators to stop before proceeding, and there are some cases when operators either forget or don't stop at the grade crossing. That's what that represents, not making a stop when told to. The red signal in the yard, that's the same thing, except it's operators running signals in the yard versus the main line. The opening the doors on the wrong side, as we know, we have our station platforms. On some platforms, the operator has to open the right bank of doors, while at other stations, they have to open the left bank of doors, and this represents that. The improper berthing, that's, again, when the train is not fully berthed in the station. That's what that represents. Violation of a stop order that is given that is not followed is the next column. The RWP is roadway worker protection, and what that is when employees are on the right-of-way, if there's a violation of any of the rules, that's represented in that column. A manual block violation is when we have our automatic system that fails and there's a manual block that's established, which is violated. That's represented in the next column. And when an operator changes modes, for example, going from an automatic mode to a manual mode, they have to get permission to do that. And when they don't, it's regarded as a violation. So that represents all the different types of violations we track. The bottom graph shows a comparison of those same incidents between FY11 and FY12. And as we can see, the biggest concern here, again, is the running of the red signals on the main line. This graph represents that for the current fiscal year, and it shows how many we've had on a month-to-month basis. Now, we included this slide. It's the status of corrective action plans, and the reason we included this is based on an accident that occurred at WMATA. There was a recommendation by the NTSB that the board be apprised of what the status of corrective action plans are, stemming from primarily three types of issues. One is an internal safety that is conducted by the safety staff. One is a triennial review that is conducted by the Public Utilities Commission. And finally, random inspections of the rail infrastructure that are conducted by the PUC. And the items that are open are shown on this graph. And by the end of this fiscal year, we plan to close all the remaining open items. Many of them are just administrative issues, and there are no serious issues that are open. And this graph represents our outreach efforts. We have engineering, education, and enforcement, our three E's that we use for both bus and rail safety. This represents the numbers of people who we have educated using the various means of presentations, tours, outreach, and other events to educate them about rail and bus safety. And as Mr. Leahy mentioned in his opening remarks, the next few slides will show safety improvements that are being proposed for the stations on the Harbor Freeway It was a result of an accident that occurred on February 22nd, where an errant motorist accidentally entered the bus-only lane on the freeway and entered our bus station, jumped the curb at the bus station, and collided with patrons who were waiting at the bus stop. Corporate Safety, along with Caltrans and CHP staff, went on site, and we have conducted a very detailed investigation to find out what improvements can be implemented, and I'd like to show that in my next few slides. Some of the measures that we are proposing is additional sand barrel crash attenuators to slow the speed down if an errant motorist enters that area, enhanced signage on the freeway advising motorists of the diamond lane versus the bus lane, enhanced pavement markings in the freeway lanes, and then concrete-filled bollards on the platform edge, and I've got some photographs showing that, enhancing the stop signs with beacons and replacing some broken delineators on the freeway. The photograph on the left shows the existing condition at the bus station, at the 105-110 station, and the photograph on the right is our proposal to install those 6-inch metal concrete-filled bollards. This shows the crash attenuators as proposed. The photograph again on the left shows fewer attenuators, and the far median, there are no attenuators today. And what we're proposing in the photograph on the right is the installation of the additional sand barrels that would stop an errant vehicle if they were to enter that area again. And finally, we are working with Caltrans to implement these recommendations. They are in agreement with it. We are getting the as-built drawings, which we will provide to Caltrans, and then once we receive the final drawings from them, we will discuss our procurement strategy. And I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Taylor, who will discuss what that is to expedite the installation of these improvements.
Just quickly, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, the Public Utilities Code allows the CEO to implement immediate or remedial measures to enhance safety. This requires the CEO to inform the board of his intention to exercise this authority, which I'm doing here today. And after the expenditure of funds, we'll submit a board report explaining the necessity and the actions that we've taken. But we want to take care of this immediately under that authority. That's the report on safety, Mr. Chairman.
Directors, any questions? Look, I think this is a good start. But we need to get a better understanding of how we set the standard, what the rationale was. Is there a national standard? Are we high, low? How do we compare to other large transit agencies? Particularly, I mean, when you look at accidents, you know, if because we're so spread out or whatever, we're driving more than others. I mean, those are all things you got to take into account. And those are a couple of ideas. I would suggest, particularly, you know, and I don't mean to pick on her, but Gloria Molina has pretty much been one of the strongest voices on this issue. I would encourage our staffs to look at this report and provide some input about what other information we'd like to glean and review from this. So if we could do that. And Director Katz?
Just to, you know, second your comments, Mr. Mayor, I'm glad that this is now on the agenda. I think we ought to be doing it quarterly. You know, there's been, you know, four of the members of this board sit on the Metrolink board. You know, you were at Chatsworth for 26 hours that day. There has been a serious effort to increase not only awareness but also safety and practice and make safety more foundational. Metrolink on Tuesday hosted a four-hour workshop on the role of public boards in safety and public transit agencies. And Robert Sumwalt, who from NTSB, was out along with Mort Downey, who was Deputy Secretary for President Clinton, and the board members and some safety officers. It was an amazing 80 people, four-hour discussion about what our responsibility is in terms of public safety and what, you know, the whole what do you know, when do you know it. We're hoping that that's something that others do, but I think you're right. We got to talk about it and work on it until it's second nature and you don't have to talk about it, work at it, because it's just how business is done.
Thank you very much. Any other comment? We have some public comment, beginning with Mr. Walsh, and then Mr. Sachs. Mr. Walsh?
Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. First, Art, at the last meeting you said, and I'm quoting, $1 billion with a B, dollars in deferred rail maintenance. $1 billion.
We can hear you. Billion. We can hear you. You don't have to scream.
Okay.
You're on a mic.
But the people who died on the blue line can't hear me, no matter how loud I talk. And there was not one peep from you. Safety is tied to maintenance. You are not maintaining the system. And then there's deferred bus maintenance. I want a copy of this report. And you broke the record on the Expo line, the light rail from hell. You sent six people to the hospital during the testing of it. I'm telling you right now, bus collisions way up because of texting. If you want to know what's happening, you're cheating us. Find out who the cheaters are up here, HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Mr. Sachs?
Yes, thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. I hope I quote you right here. This question has been raised again and again by numerous members of the board, Supervisor Antonovich, Supervisor Molina, Supervisor Kanabi. You didn't mention Supervisor Yaroslavsky or Ridley Thomas. In closed session, mind you. So those five Board of Supervisors all asked the question, how come it's taken so long to get an answer? I'm sure they didn't all answer that question in one closed session. So again, how come it's taken so long to get an answer? Mr. Leahy mentioned this is the first time he's brought this before the board. So after five supervisors asked this question, how come it's so long to get an answer? The question is, we have a stat from the 80s and 90s that refers to 4 accidents per 100,000 miles. Is anybody concerned that maybe bus cuts and bus service have caused a lower number to be 3 accidents per 100,000 miles? But again, your own quote, numerous people have asked, how come we're taking so long to get an answer?
Maurice Reed? Rhodes? Jesus. I believe you. Just trying to. Mr. Rhodes, how are you?
You did a great job, Mayor.
Thank you.
May it please the board. Now comes plaintiff pro se, Maurice Rhodes, buying through himself, and humbly moves this board for an order stopping the blatant racism, bias, prejudice, and discrimination in Metro's advertising. Further pursuant to the First Amendment, also pursuant to the Federal Voting Rights Act of 1965, I ask for a cease and desist order. I would like Metro to include African Americans in their advertising. I would like to see my people get their fair share of these federal tax dollars, of these American tax dollars. In mitigation, I've set forth a proposed remedial action.
That you'll share with us?
Yes, I believe. Thank you. Honorable Mayor, more than several weeks ago.
Your time is up, but if you give me that copy of that, we'll share that with the entire board.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rhodes.
Thank the board.
No, thank you. Item number 56, I'm going to ask Director Antonovich to oversee this item. I am conflicted.
It's a copy of everyone. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. I have before you a motion from myself and Directors Don Kanabi and Director Ara Najarian asking that we continue this item for 30 days. There were some stakeholder meetings that happened recently, and there's been a lot of progress. There's some significant progress being made on this, but we needed some additional time to refine the project's impacts and mitigation measures. So in the interest of time, we could perhaps have a brief presentation from our staff, but I think if we're going to hear this again within a month, it'd probably better either to continue it outright or to just get a brief presentation from staff. Either way is fine, but hopefully we could continue this for 30 days and then come back and get the full presentation.
Director Pam O'Connor has also joined on this.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Pam.
Good morning, directors. In the last 30 days or so, we have held several meetings with the stakeholders that requested at the last board meeting that we give them additional time so that we can work out the issues. And we have brought our staff to these meetings, and we've been discussing basically issues around construction methods. We have met with stakeholders on Flower Street, where we are addressing the issues of the feasibility of continuing with our tunnel from 4th Street to 5th Street. We're also dealing with the issues of
56.
The cover portion, specifically
56.
The deck that we use to cover that. We are also dealing with them and explaining the rationale as to why we in the environmental impact report recommended what we recommended. We're also talking about the temporary and permanent construction easements that are required when you do tunneling in our projects.
Excuse me, Madam. Mr.
Let me say,
this item is going to be continued, so let us forego this discussion right now. And any objection, if not so ordered, on the continuation for 30 days.
Thank you much.
Okay. Thank you.
It's the speakers. Yes, we adopt the resolution of Mr. Supervisor.
Mr. Chair, and one final thing, if I may, please. And I want to thank the stakeholders who came out today. And I know they had submitted some cards, but they, for the interest of time, they also wanted to just forego their speaking time so that we could continue with our meeting if it was going to be continued. So thank you for coming today.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the amendment, if I may. I'm concerned on 2A, where it says, during construction, no surface disruption shall be allowed. We can't guarantee that. I would think you would be better to change the language to
minimize.
Why
don't you change it to mitigate? Mitigate?
Minimize and mitigate.
Minimize and mitigate.
Whatever.
Any objection to that terminology?
That's fine.
Mitigate. So ordered. Okay.
Roman 3, it talks about decking shall be no higher than 10 inches above. I think we have to put a qualifier in there to say if feasible. It may not be feasible to have decking no higher than 10 inches. It may be 5 inches. We don't know until we start doing it, is all I'm saying.
So if feasible is fine, that qualifies
you.
It, and we'll determine that in the conversations.
It's from being sued.
It's not final.
With that terminology, without objection.
That's fine.
So ordered. Okay, item number. Okay, roll call. Okay, roll call vote. Supervisor Molina. We're just continuing it for 30 days to come back with the.
So we're not passing.
No, no.
No, the conversation's continuing. We'll get the final report from staff. They're still negotiating and discussing the items. Great. Thank you.
Okay, roll call for the continuation.
There's no objection, is there?
Well, she was asking for the roll call. Oh, Pam's on the phone. Okay.
Got to clear the roll.
Yes.
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 Pam?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Aye.
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 Director Wilson?
Yes.
Director Molina?
Aye.
So ordered. And then item number 60. Item number 60. Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I
move item number 60 because I think it's useful to the board to get a report back on this value capture strategy that I think could very well be a big deal for us. And I'm simply asking that we revisit this item in the specified amount of time that it would come back. The staff has indicated they can report back in roughly 60 days. And this is a good deal to us in terms of how it might provide a mechanism for us to resolve some of the problems with which we are contending. I know of no resistance to the item, and I simply wish to move it with your concurrence, Madam Chair.
Second.
Madam Chair. And a second. Yes, sir.
I want to, one, applaud Director Ridley Thomas for this motion. Just for a point of clarification, I'd like to add as a friendly amendment. I've talked to your staff about it as well. On item number four of this, actually item number five of this motion, that the matter would come back before the Planning and Programs Committee as well as the Board of Directors for recommendations. So what we want them to do is come back with the report, and then we can make a decision on the report.
And is there a second to that, friendly?
This is accepted as a friendly amendment.
It's not, you don't have a problem with that? We're talking about you need to look into that because I don't think we own any.
Right. You know? And this is what would come back in with a thorough scrubbing of the matter by staff. So whatever is not consistent with a thorough vetting would certainly fall out.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I just wanted to make sure that we were aware that we couldn't tax what we didn't own. Any comments? No objections? We need to have a roll call, okay? May we have a roll call, please?
All you need to do is one, I think. No opposition.
Public comment. I'm sorry. Thank you. I have Hannah Bentley, who agreed she wasn't going to speak again, so we'll go to Gerard Wright.
Good afternoon, directors. Gerard Wright speaking on behalf of Denny Zane of Move LA. We're very supportive of the study to look at value capture as one of the tools, along with TOD, to finance additional projects and finance additional betterments of various projects. Regional Connector has some issues. Other projects have various issues. The Leimert Park Station, that might be a mechanism to fund that actual station. Surprise, more people aren't here speaking about this because this is essential to what we're doing with Measure R. We transforming the city, transforming this region to be a more accessible and mobile region for not just pedestrians, but transit users, for everyone. We're trying to make LA a more livable city, and Move LA supports this idea. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes the public hearing on this issue.
Yes.
Now we'll take a roll call vote.
Sure.
You had a comment. I'm sorry.
No, just simply prepared to move forward. This is a methodology that could prove very, very valuable to us. Is hardly without precedent, but I'm very interested, as are others, in seeing how well it can work for the MTA.
Are there any other comments from directors? May we have a roll call?
Najarian?
Yes.
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 O'Connor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Wait.
You missed.
I'm not conflicted on this one. I was not conflicted on the other one. You didn't call me. Oh, you can call me that. It's all right.
Yes.
Gloria Molina.
Yeah.
Mayor Villaraigosa.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item number 10. This item will be extended for 30 days at request of my good friend, Director Kanabe. You don't need to move it. It's just been pulled, my friend.
Just a question before it comes back as clarification. Can we have a clear indication of the projects and how they're being affected by the policy change? I'll take that as assent. When it comes back.
Somebody needs to respond to Director Fasana.
Director Fasana?
I'm just asking that when 10 comes back that we have a clear indication in the report how the various projects are being affected by the recommended policy changes.
Yes, sir.
What the funding impacts are.
Thank you.
It will be done.
You're welcome, as always. Item number 14, the Antelope Valley Line Infrastructure Improvement Strategic Plan.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and fellow and directors of the MTA board. Don Sepulveda, Executive Officer for Regional Rail. Can I have the screen, please? Thank you. This is an update, or actually a report, on the Antelope Valley Line Strategic Implementation Study. If you recall, there was a board motion back in April of 2011 to study the Antelope Valley Line as the one true line in Los Angeles County that's completely originates and has a destination in Los Angeles County. We wanted to evaluate the line for one-hour service between Palmdale and Union Station, identify safety enhancements along the corridor, and actually look at a funding strategy for implementation of some of these enhancements. Some of the goals were to identify the infrastructure improvements that could enhance the overall travel times, reduce that run time to 1 hour, identify the safety enhancements, and build capacity for freight and passenger service, including high-speed train service for future. And at the final, they evaluate funding opportunities and cost-benefit analysis of these improvements. This is a 75-mile rail corridor in Los Angeles County. It carries both Metrolink and Union Pacific freight. In addition, part of it is on the inner-city low-sand corridor served by Amtrak, and that segment is actually the second busiest passenger rail corridor in the country. The average speed on this line is 40 miles per hour. It includes right now we have limited stop trains of 1 hour and 30 minutes, but actually it takes 2 hours to traverse based on conventional travel. This is the line. The green that you see on the map is the segment on the low sand corridor. The purple is actually through the San Fernando Valley. Again, that's part of the high-speed rail corridor, future high-speed rail corridor. The orange is unique, and the blue is very instrumental, as we'll talk about in a moment. And, of course, the lime green segment is out in the Palmdale area. Each of these segments have very distinct characteristics. The segment between Sylmar and Lancaster has several slow-speed curves. There's a lack of sidings. There's a lack of crossovers. There's narrow right-of-way, and there's some station configuration constraints. There is, in fact, a segment of this line that takes an hour and 10 minutes to travel single track. Corridor-wide, there's numerous single-track sections, there's significant signaling constraints, and a lot of at-grade crossings. What the study has found is that the recommended improvements in Tier 1, and Tier 1 is the low-hanging fruit, for lack of a better term. We're able to save 2.8 minutes based on travel or modifications within the right-of-way. The overall runtime is not able to meet that one-hour time frame without some significant environmental and other impacts, and the overall runtime is actually reduced through capacity improvements that allow additional scheduling options. The larger benefit is the operational capacity. And this is actually occurs between Burbank Junction and Sylmar, where we can double track, and Via Princesa and Palmdale. In addition, it's found that the Lancaster terminus is at capacity and LA Union Station has limited capacity. This is a quick graph to sum up. The blue you see is existing capacity on the Antelope Valley line. The red is future capacity based on some of the recommended improvements that we're proposing here. This map here actually shows the travel times, and if you'll notice, the blue is actually existing travels and speeds. The red actually is what can be done on Tier 1. The green is actually on Tier 2. So the Tier 1 improvements, these have a greater ease of implementation with minimum amount of right-of-way. Right around $85 million for all of these, $80 million for all of these improvements. Of course, we'd have to prioritize and phase these in. This includes some of the double tracking that I've talked about. This would actually reduce travel time by 2.8 minutes and up to 12.8 minutes on some trains that are actually required to hold. And some of the other issues that we have found is that we do need a grade crossing improvement program. The study that we looked at, or the study included or scoped out an overview of grade crossings, but frankly, we do need to analyze these grade crossings at a much closer level. At the Palmdale station, a second platform and track improvements, and this reduces a single track return constraint. Lancaster stations, we have enhancements to the facilities, and at the Sylmar station, double tracking, which reduces the dwell times and allows further limited stop trains. Some of the Tier 2, these are improvements that are not contained within right-of-way. They create some significant environmental funding constraints, a lot of land acquisition, and they would be delayed due to some of the environmental issues that would come up for it. These recommended improvements are located primarily between Via Princesa and Lancaster, where the route is most constrained and curved. These are infrastructure-intensive improvements. They do improve operational flexibility. They gain us about 11 minutes, but we believe that it would take 10 to 20 years to implement. And some of the costs include about $241 million of tunnel and bridge projects on top of $14 million. Costed out, that's about $25 million per saved minute. Some of the safety enhancements that we're talking about, minor roadway improvements, grade crossing improvements, and, of course, higher speed rail improvements. Again, these were looked at a cursory overview. They were not a formal hazard analysis was not done on these crossings. With these, we looked at some of the improvements that can be done within the time frame and came up with the dollars that you see here. And we came up with some local strategies on how to fund. These are some of the maps out, local tax initiatives, state funding, higher funding. And it's summarized in this pie chart, which I won't go into great detail on, although I will say that the larger pie, $67 million, is the Prop C, the larger blue pie. So inclusion, by offering limited stop service, we can increase the growth to about 15% a year and up to 50% over 3 years, but we do need some passenger demand modeling to help determine what that ridership requirement would be. And the other important next steps, and this is where we're going now. As part of this analysis, we're doing an analysis of a station at Bob Hope Airport on this line, and that will be coming back to you in the next month. We're advancing segments of the corridor. We believe the advancing segments of the corridor into PE and environmental work will actually improve our attractiveness to federal grants. We do need to perform. We are performing an additional modeling analysis of tilt train technology. We've seen some preliminary results on that. We'll have a full report on that for you next month. And we do need to implement a comprehensive grade crossing program to identify where we need to go with that and identify project-ready improvements for funding and implement the funding plan. And with that, I open it up to any questions you may have.
Good job. I'm sorry, nobody else.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Did Supervisor Antonovich make the motion? It's moved, seconded?
So move.
The item has been moved and seconded. Okay. Comments?
apologize. Kimberly Richards, Arnold Sachs, and Gerard Wright.
Maybe I'm vain, Mr. Chairman, but I can hear by name calling when the mic doesn't work.
You can.
I can hear you perfectly clearly. Kimberly Richards, speaking as chair of the Metro San Fernando Valley Service Council. This is all very, very good stuff. Director Antonovich, I commend you for most of this motion. I take issue, though, with the very first part of it. A new station at Hollywood Way would be less than 2 miles space from the existing station at Sun Valley. You simply don't put stations that close together on commuter rail. If it was a light rail line, yeah, but this is a commuter line. These trains take time to start and stop, and you're going to increase travel time for everybody in the corridor adding that connectivity. Now, that having been said, and speaking from something I have some experience in, there is already a good connection between Sun Valley Station and Bob Hope Airport. Metro Rapid Line 794 takes less than 5 minutes to get from Sun Valley Metrolink to Hollywood Way Thornton, and the stop adjacent to Sun Valley Metrolink was just put in place within the last 60 days.
Thank you.
Problem already solved.
Thank you, Kimberly. Arnold Sachs and Gerard Wright. Arnold, or Mr. Sachs, rather. Apologize.
That's fine. Thank you. My same question. You want to put, good afternoon, Arnold Sachs, a station to Bob Hope Airport? How long have we been waiting for connection between aviation station and the LAX airport? Maybe you could use that methodology, as Supervisor Ridley Thomas talked about methodology. 25, 30 years now for the Green Line. There's some methodology. And my other concerns here, you talked about time for Metrolink and Amtrak, but isn't there also plans for a freight terminal type infrastructure in Inland Empire that would be necessary to be using these rail lines to move freight containers from Long Beach up into that area that will create almost like an Alameda corridor type existence by moving extra freight trains through that area? That's why you need these repairs and these infrastructure updates, upgrades.
Wright, rather. How are you, Mr. Wright?
Very good, sir. Very good. Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, Gerard Wright speaking in behalf of Denny Zane and Move LA. We're very supportive of this motion. It's important to link the, in particular with the passing of the SCAG Regional Transportation Plan, SCS. There's one key item that Move LA is very supportive of, and that is the nexus between regional rail and the airport connections. That provides a lot of mobility and a lot of cost-effective ways of moving people out of their cars to connect to the airports and commercial and activity centers, and this is a great way of starting that. We would like to see, in conjunction with the 2012 RTP SCS with SCAG, to look at electrifying this line as well as other Metrolink lines into a higher-speed commuter rail system that mimics something like New York and Chicago, linking lots of people very cost effectively. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The item has been moved and seconded without objection.
You got some man. We got a man right here.
I have a card for number 10, but it's about this. Could I use it for 14 instead for a minute? You put off item 10, but it's about proceed projects and things.